Leviticus and chapter 6, and we'll begin there, and then we'll get into chapter 7 just a little bit. But Leviticus chapter 6 and chapter 7, and before we get into that, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning, or this evening rather, for the privilege to be able to meet together. We thank you, Father, for the way that you have blessed in each of our lives, the way that you have led and guided. Lord, you've been so good to each and every one of us, and we have so much for which to be thankful. And I pray this evening that as we look into your word, that we would be sensitive to what your spirit would have for us to learn today. We pray, Father, that you would lead and guide our thoughts and direct us, we pray, as we study together these things, and may your will be done in each heart and in each life. And Lord, may we be more committed to serve you as we should. Thank you again for your many blessings to us. And we ask now for your blessings on this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever noticed how children sometimes react to instructions? For example, sometimes I would tell my boys to go get something when they were young. For example, maybe I would say to them, "Caleb, Benjamin, I want you to run and get the hammer for me." But I not only wanted to tell them what to get, I also wanted to tell them where the hammer was located. But as soon as I said, "Go get the hammer," well, they're off and they're running, and they have no idea where the hammer is located. And so, sure enough, after a while, they come back. "Well, Dad, we couldn't find it. We don't know where it is." You know the story. Well, sometimes God's people do the same sort of thing. God tells us to do something. We're running before we really know everything we need to know. We're trying to do something without the proper amount of knowledge. And so in our text today, we're going to see how that very same thing applies here in our study of Leviticus. You remember that God is dwelling among his chosen people. Now, these are people who have a relationship with the Lord God, such as men had never known before. And in order to maintain that relationship, remember, these things are not done in order to have a relationship. These things are being done in order to maintain the relationship that they already enjoy. And so in order to maintain that relationship, you remember there on Mount Sinai, the Lord God had given Moses instructions that the people of Israel were to bring 5 different sacrifices. These 5 different sacrifices, of course, would picture 3 things. First of all, they would picture their commitment to God. This was seen in our study of the burnt offering and the meal offering. And then these sacrifices were to picture not only their commitment to God, but their communion with God. And this, of course, was seen in the peace offering. And then there was the sacrifices that pictured their condition before God. And this was seen in the sin offering, and also in the trespass offering. But before these people started butchering all these sacrificial animals, before they started shedding all of this blood, the Lord God wanted to speak to the priest of Israel and give them some special instructions so that they would know exactly how to offer the sacrifices in a way that would be acceptable. You see, it wasn't just offering sacrifices that was important. The sacrifices that were offered had to be offered in the very way that God himself prescribed. Now, we're living in a day today when many people talk about worship. Many people seem to have the idea that worship is basically a personal preference. In other words, we worship God in the way that we feel is best. We worship God in the way that we feel is fitting. But the truth of the matter is, God has given some very clear principles about what kind of worship it is that is acceptable to him. It's not about us. It's about him. And so that's exactly what we find here. God wanted these people to understand exactly how the sacrifices were to be offered, how those sacrifices were to be divided up, how the sacrifices were, what parts were to be burned on the altar, what parts were to be kept by the priest for food, and what parts were actually given to the offerer, the offerer. And so therefore, when we come to our text in verse 8 and verse number 9 of Leviticus chapter 6, the Bible says that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying. Now we're going to have a review of these offerings. And as we review this offerings, we're going to notice that the order, it's just a little bit different than what we saw previously in our study together, because now it appears that these offerings are arranged according to the frequency of their use. For example, the burnt offering and the meat offering, these were to be daily sacrifices. And then the sin offering, this was only offered at certain festivals or when someone had sinned. And the trespass offering was offered only after sins had been committed along with the sin offering. And then the peace offering, this was generally an optional offering of thanksgiving that could be offered at any time. Now, let's go back and let's see the instructions now that the Lord God gave to the priest. First of all, the instructions for the burnt offering. You remember how that this offering showed the total commitment of themselves to the Lord God. But now we're going to learn two additional things about this burnt offering. First of all, notice the nature of it. And the nature of this offering is simply this, as I mentioned a moment ago. It was a continual offering, a continual offering. In fact, let's turn back to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. Two lambs of the first year, notice it, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And then skip down to verse number 42. This shall be a continual offering, a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And so this burnt offering, there was first of all the morning sacrifice when this would be done. And then throughout the course of the day, other sacrifices would be offered. And then in the evening, there would be another burnt offering. And after the evening sacrifice, no other offerings would be offered until after the morning sacrifice of the next day. Now, with that in mind, let's look at our text, Leviticus 6, verse 8 and 9. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar, notice it, all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. This is to be a continual burning, a continual burning. But for this fire to burn continually, there were some requirements. There was some attention that needed to be given. And so notice, first of all, the requirements of it, the requirements of it. And when it came to the requirements of this fire that was to be continually burning, there were two things. First of all, there was cleaning. A continual burning is naturally going to produce a lot of ashes. It's going to produce a lot of ashes. And if the ashes are not kept clear, if the ashes are not cleaned out, the oxygen supply that is needed to maintain the fire will be blocked, and that fire will eventually go out. And so therefore, the Lord God said in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his fine and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And so there had to be the cleaning out of the ashes, the removal of the ashes, the collecting of them and carrying them outside of the camp to a designated place. The requirement, in order for that fire to burn continually, there had to be a constant cleaning. But not only that, there also had to be a constant chopping, a constant chopping. Look at it in verse 12 and verse 13. The fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Now, you understand that that would certainly require a lot of chopping. It would require a lot of chopping because, as the wise man said in Proverbs 26, verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. And so in order to maintain this fire that was to be burning continually all through the day, all through the night, there needed to be a constant supply of wood. Wood had to be chopped. Wood had to be cut in order that the fire might be maintained. Bottom line, the priest had to be sure that the altar was clean, and that there was a sufficient supply of wood to keep the fire burning at all times. That's the burnt offering. But then notice the meat offering. Now, this offering showed the commitment of a man's works. You remember the burnt offering showed the commitment of a man's self, but this shows the commitment of a man's stuff to the Lord God. And there are two things that are shown here in our text. We find, first of all, there is the offering of the people, the offering of the people. This is found in verse 14 down to verse number 18. And here we find that only a handful was burned on the altar. The rest of this meat offering was for the priest. But there were two requirements that were given. They could only eat of this in the holy place or in the court of the tabernacle. In other words, they could not carry it home to be eaten in their home. And we also find that only the priest, only the men were allowed to eat of it. That was the offering of the people. But then we also find the offering of the priest. This is found in verse 19 down to verse number 23. And when it came to the meat offering of the priest, all of it was to be burned on the altar. None of it was to be eaten by the priest. And so what we see here is that the priest could partake. They could be fed by the works of others, but their own works were to be totally given to the Lord God. So there was the burnt offering. There was the meat offering. Now notice the sin offering. The sin offering. Now you remember in our previous study, we saw the sin offering for four different classes. We saw there was the sin offering of the priest. And then there was the sin offering of the nation. And then there was the sin offering of the rulers. And then there was the sin offering of the common people. And for the first two, the priest and the nation, we saw how that all of the offering was to be burned. For the last two, for the rulers, for the common people, part of it was to be burned, but the rest of it was given to the priest for their food. Now in our text, in verse 24 down to verse number 30 of chapter 6, the Lord God gave clear instructions because this was a most holy offering. In fact, it was so holy that the Bible says this in verse number 27, whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof In other words, whatever touched the flesh of that sacrifice that was to be offered, whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. As you read down through the text, in verse number 27, we're also told that if the blood of a sin sacrifice or a sin offering splattered on the clothes of the priest, those clothes were to be washed clean in the holy place. In verse number 28, if the meat of a sin offering was sodden, verse number 28. In other words, if it was boiled in an earthen pot, the juices of that meat would soak into the unglazed material. And since it could not be totally cleansed, that pot was to be broken. It was never to be used for anything else because now it's holy, you see. And if the meat of the sin offering was cooked in a brazen pot, verse number 28, in other words, a pot that is made of a non-porous material, that pot was to be thoroughly scoured. It's to be thoroughly washed with water, and then it could be used again. Because of the holiness of this sacrifice, only those who were ceremonially clean were allowed to eat of it. Those who were consecrated as priests to the Lord God, verse number 29 tells us. But even for those priests, there was a prohibition. In verse number 30, the Bible says, no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile with all in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire. In other words, any animal whose blood was brought into the holy place to make an atonement for sin, that animal, his meat of it, was not to be eaten. Rather, all of it was to be totally burned. So there's the burnt offering, the meat offering, the sin offering. And notice number four, there is the trespass offering. The trespass offering. If you'll remember, this offering dealt with a man's guilt. When this offering was described before, we were not told what parts of this offering belonged to the Lord God. But now we're told exactly in this passage how this sacrifice was to be cut, how it was to be divided up. Notice chapter 7, verse 2 to verse number 5. It says, in the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering. And the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of it all the fat thereof, the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul which is above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a trespass offering. In verse number 6 of chapter 7, we find that the rest of this offering was then given to the men of the priesthood to eat in the holy place, because again, it was most holy. But a thing I want you to understand is that both the sin offering and the trespass offering, if the priest were not allowed to eat any of the meat, we find in verse 7 and verse 8, the skin of that animal, even though they could not eat of the meat, the skin of that animal would be given to them. Does that sound vaguely familiar? You remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden? God came and he offered the sacrifice there. You remember the blood was shed for the covering of their sin. But then the skin of the animal was given to Adam and Eve to cover their physical nakedness. And so the skin of the animal, it was provided for the priest, the trespass offering. Then we find there was also the peace offering. If you'll remember, we saw before how that Part of this was offered to the Lord God. Part of this was then given to the priest. But the majority, most of this offering was actually eaten by the one who offered it. And notice a couple of things that we find pointed out here. First of all, there is the occasions. This offering was to be brought on basically two different occasions. First of all, this offering was brought when giving thanks, chapter 7, verse 12 to verse number 15. When a person wanted to give thanks to God for some particular blessing or something that God had done for them, this offering would be brought with unleavened cakes and leavened cakes, which were not to be burned. They were what the Bible calls a heave offering in verse number 14. In other words, they were a heave offering that was lifted up to the Lord God. And then all of it was eaten on the same day, and whatever was left over, none of it was to be carried home, but whatever was left over was then to be burned on the altar. That was when they brought an offering in honor of, or for giving thanks for blessings that God had given. But then there was also the occasion when a person was fulfilling their vows. This is found in verse 16, 17, and 18. And the same rules that applied to the offering that was brought when giving thanks, those same rules applied with one exception. The sacrifice could be eaten over a period, not of one day, but it could be eaten over a period of 2 days. And after 2 days, all that was left over was then to be burned. So these were the occasions when they would bring a peace offering to the Lord. But there was a prohibition. There was a prohibition. You see, there can be no peace with God when sin has not been properly dealt with. There can be no peace with God when sin has not been properly dealt with. That's why many times even Christians, they have no joy. They have no real peace in their heart. It's simply because of the fact they have things in their life that should not be there. They're harboring some sinful action or some sinful attitude, and they refuse to let it go. They refuse to deal with it in a biblical way. And the result of that is their peace of God. The peace of God is lost in their life. And so for that reason, the Lord God gave some specific instructions. Notice it in verse 19 and following. The flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain to the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. In other words, they're going to be put to death because they ate that which was holy while they themselves were unclean. Verse number 21. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing as the uncleanness of man or any unclean beast or any abominable unclean thing and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. They're going to be put to death. Now, in the rest of this chapter, verse 22 down to verse number 38, we find that it deals with other related commands for the offering of these sacrifices. But as we bring this to a close this evening, I want to make a New Testament application. I want to apply these feasts to us as God's people today. I want to apply them to us. First of all,
the burnt offering. I want us to be reminded of the fact that our dedication of ourself completely to God should be a continual thing. The offering of ourselves completely to God should be something we do every day. Every day we ought to yield ourselves completely to the Lord, dedicating ourselves to doing what He would have for us to do. And then the meat offering. The meat offering should remind us of the fact that the dedication of our works should also be given to God continually. In other words, every day, not only should we yield ourselves to the Lord God, but we should seek that everything we do might be done for His honor and for His glory. The meat offering. And then there's the sin offering. How that we ought to be quick always to confess our sins, as the Bible admonishes in 1 John chapter 1 in verse number 9, that we ought to confess our sins, depending on the wonderful fact that He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ought to confess our sin, not covering our sin, not trying to hide our sin, but dealing with it in a biblical way. And then the trespass offering. When we sin, we ought to strive to make things right. We ought to strive to make things right with God. We ought to strive to make things right with those whom we have sinned against. The trespass offering. And then there is the peace offering. When we have peace with God, and when we have the peace of God, then we are welcomed to eat at God's table. We're welcome to eat at God's table. I think this point must certainly have been in the mind of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Corinth concerning the Lord's Supper. And here's what he said, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 and following. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Just as in the Old Testament, when those who ate of the peace offering unworthily, they were cut off from their people. And in the very same way, the Apostle Paul says, as New Testament believers, when we come to the Lord's table and we celebrate the peace that we have with God because of the salvation that He's given to us, and we eat of that unworthily, we're not clean, we're not right with God, there is a serious consequence. So may God help each of us to learn the lessons that we find illustrated in these five sacrifices, which the Lord God commanded His chosen people to observe. May God help us to learn these things for our own good and for His glory.